time for some NHL hockey talk. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. I'm alongside my co-host each and every week, Blake Friars. And we're both in the middle of a blizzard, and that's not good. And last night you got your wish on your frozen frenzy. Did you watch it, or did you talk about that it was going to be cool and then not watch it?
Well, I couldn't watch it. It was only on ESPN Plus, and I don't have access to that. So,
a good strong point there.
I thought Sportsnet would have done a little bit with it and took some feeds, but
a little surprised they didn't.
I thought they would have taken feeds right after the Canucks game was over, and they didn't do anything. So I was like, what's the point of accessing that if you're only going to put it on one country? That's not very smart. Overall, I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen some good, but obviously it's something that it's a trial and error type thing. They've never done anything like that before. So,
It's difficult because it's not like football where you have the
They're in the 20-yard line.
It's
a little pick your spots.
I thought ESPN did a decent job of it. I really did, and I'm pretty critical of ESPN and their hockey coverage. So I thought it was decent. I did. I thought it was all right. As for having every team playing a Tuesday night, I think it's idiotic. Because now we have one game on Wednesday.
Why? You have 16 games yesterday, and you're going to turn around on a Wednesday night. You're going to have Washington and New Jersey is the only game.
I know. That's what
I'm saying. Not even a Canadian team.
Well, I just think it's ridiculous to have one game.
That would be like beating a dead horse if we talked about the NHL scheduling. We've talked about that for this is what, the seventh year of this podcast?
It's gotten worse every year, though. I will say that it has gotten worse and worse every single year. So, the other things that are getting worse, did you see the call last night in the Kraken Red Wings game?
Can't say I did.
Bird.
Oh, no. Wait, are you talking
the Kraken
call?
Jaden Schwartz threw his stick.
Oh, I see that. He intercepted the puck.
Intercepted the Red Wings.
It should have been a penalty shot.
And the Kraken go down and score.
Yeah.
And they count it.
Yeah. I did see that. Did you see that? Who was it on Calgary that got absolutely hammered from behind?
Oh, Adam Rizisa. Hammered from behind. The most as clear as a lot of them we've seen this year.
He did hit him in the shoulder, but it was behind
in the numbers.
It wasn't directly in the numbers, but he kind of came in from the side. But
Coleman got hit later in the game from behind. Not as bad as that.
Yeah, that was bad.
And they called it a penalty, but nothing for Rizisca. And now he's out.
Yeah,
I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know. One of the things I just saw this week, it's actually late. Well, it was a while ago now, but when Calgary lost to the Capitals in the shootout, it doesn't bother me because I think the shootout sucks as a whole, but Kuznetsov going down that slow
got a lot every single time.
I know that got a lot of press though this time. And there's a lot of people that were saying, that shouldn't be allowed. And I hate shootouts as a whole, so I don't know if I'm
you can do whatever you want. He's making forward movement. He's still moving his skates, you know what I mean? So it's not like he's doing like a spinorama and stopping and starting, and he's just coasting in there. And you can go look up Evgeny Kuznetsov shootouts, and he does the exact same thing every single time.
It works. Yeah, it does. It kind of makes a mockery of the game, though.
A little bit, but
don't make a mockery of it alone, right? I guess so. What the heck's the difference?
I mean, you want to fix that? Just make 3-on-3 overtime 8 minutes, and you solve that problem itself.
So I know we talked a little bit about this on text, and we'll talk about this quick before we get into the show here. But Rick Tocchet calls out the Canucks after a bad loss to Philly, which I mean, you're going to have some of those. And I thought the Canucks have been pretty damn good. I mean, better than expected this year, right? We talked about it last week. We gave them a ton of praise, and I think they've been really good. And they lose to Philly. I believe it was their first loss, right?
Yeah, 4-1. They got outshot 2-1, and they were awful.
And he blasts them in the media. He doesn't do it in the locker room. He blasts them in the media. I don't know if that's healthy. Lost number one of the year and you're blasting them.
You want to know what, though? You want to know what? Right after that, they played good in Tampa, lost a one-goal game. They got better in Florida, and they played their best game last night at the end of a five-game road trip in Nashville. They got better every single game after that he got called out. So they obviously figured out, they obviously got the message loud and clear that there better not be any passengers.
Well, yes, but that is a slippery slope because you can for only sure. do that well so many times, and he seems to do it.
Yeah, for sure. He did it lots last year, and they responded well under him last year.
I know, but you were part on the Sutter can't be like that in Calgary, and this is exactly
no. That's not even close. All he said is they were soft. He just said they were garbage and they were soft. They didn't win any battles, which he was everything that guy said. He didn't say anything bad.
I agree. They're
4-2 to start the year. Like, I'm not planning the parade, but it's like it's nice to see them close out games and kill off penalties early in the year. Like, that's what killed them last year.
I just want to see how that plays out as the year goes on.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see. Today on the show, we're going to talk about attendance in the NHL. All of a sudden, this year now, attendance seems to be a public issue when we've been screaming about attendance in a lot of markets for decades. But all of a sudden, this year, they're pointing fingers at teams for attendance. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll go around the league and we'll talk about the draft ideas that are being pushed out
there. That's now. One of my questions, so we'll scrap that.
Well, okay. Edmonton issues, Anderson suspension, and Ovechkin struggles. Lots to talk about on this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right, attendance. A couple things on this. It hit the media this week that everybody's worried about Winnipeg all of a sudden, and what's going to happen to Winnipeg, and I've heard on a couple podcasts them saying, oh, Winnipeg will be gone in 5 to 10 years. And I think that's wrong, first of all.
That's never going to happen.
I mean, it could. I'm not going to say it's never going to happen because there are certain things that could happen with that. But I think it's highly doubtful. And for them to single Winnipeg out made me really wonder what is going on. We've had decades of Arizona Coyotes.
We got Arizona Coyotes playing in a $5,000 rink right now. We're going to worry about the Jets.
5,000 seat a rink.
Sorry. That's what did I say? Oh, sorry. That's what I meant. Sorry.
And seat rink. I mean, we have, there was very few fans in New Jersey the other night when I watched that game. I don't know. I don't know that this is a huge problem, but I think the problem isn't maybe the result. I think the problem is maybe the root. And everybody, I mean, the only teams that are underselling are Montreal, believe it or not. LA, San Jose, Vancouver, Edmonton.
Vancouver's had one game. That doesn't count.
Well, Blake, I'm just putting out there what they're saying, okay?
Okay.
Boston, Philly, Calgary, Winnipeg, and then the rest of them are claiming sellouts or over max capacity.
Right.
So that leads me to believe that why is this such a big to do this year?
For me, you can't judge attendance based off three home games. Like, that's like, it would be a better conversation if we talked about attendance like 20 home games into the year and see where they're at, because like the average, it's like the fact that Winnipeg got this much traction. It's like, okay, it's this, one of the smallest buildings in the league at 15,000. So they had what, 12,000 there? Like, it's not like there's 7,000 people there and it was half empty. Like, the fact that people don't realize, like, in Canada, the cost of living, the cost for a family of four to go to a Winnipeg Jets game is probably $500 by the time you get food and popcorn and hot dogs. And
you want to hear the calls?
I mean, like, it's insane. Like, the
year the total, I did it today because I was looking at the schedule and I was thinking about going to a game.
I thought, well, I bet it's $500.
So I have a family of five, but I only figured it for a family of four because that's usually what they base it off of.
Right.
So I went to NHL.com. I went to the Winnipeg Jets page to buy tickets from them, not like a StubHub or anything like that. From them. So which you'd think is the cheapest method of doing it, right?
Oh, the cheapest is Game Time.
Four tickets in the lower bowl. $816. You so figure you're going to spend
$200 each.
You can figure you're $204 each. That's not counting the taxes and shit. So that's going to be more than that.
Yeah.
$56 for four hot dogs and four drinks.
Mm-hmm.
If that's just to go to the games, $892 for,
and that's not including like, oh, you might get a jersey or a t-shirt or a puck or merch. That's $1,000.
It's literally $1,000 to go to a game. And I looked and the Jets are midway down the string on the average cost. Toronto's the highest. Seattle's the second highest. Vegas is the third highest.
Yeah. Like it's okay. So the NHL has, they're outpricing their fans at what they're doing.
The average ticket price in the NHL is $181.
Yeah.
How much do you honestly believe it should cost to go to an NHL game? How much for one seat, just a seat? Now I know you can sit up in the nosebleeds, but I'm talking a seat where I can actually see the game.
Honestly, dude, I like sitting in the nosebleeds at a hockey game. You can see the whole ice and you can see the play developing. And personally, like if I was going to the Saddle Dome tomorrow, I would sit row one in the second deck. I rather than sit in
the lower bowl. Well, the Saddle Dome is a different. They have the lower bowl there is really small. So
yeah, for sure. But I would rather sit in the second deck in the Saddle Dome because there's obstruction viewing and yeah, I don't know. But $75, $80.
That's the exact number I said. $75.
$75, $80, and then that should get you a good seat, and you can get your hot dog or your peanuts or your Coke or your beer, whatever. And it's maybe max $150 to go to a game. All in $150. That's probably the most I would spend. I
mean, you can't afford to take your kids to an NHL game.
Oh no, you can't.
And you know this league worries about growing the game all the time. That's all they're talking. Well, we got to grow the game. Well, who would you grow the game with? Probably kids, right? That'd probably be the most important person to grow the game with, right? Kids can't afford to go to games.
Nope.
Parents can't afford to take them. Parents can't afford to go to more than one or two games a year.
Yep. That's like kids, not like when I was growing up, like I was fortunate to go to a lot of NHL games growing up because like my dad's company had season tickets or whatnot. But like when I went to a game, it was like a Christmas present. Like, hey, like this is your Christmas gift. Like, we're going to go to Vancouver. We're going to go two games growing up. Like that's, you're not getting any other gifts. You're going to go to Vancouver. Like that was my gift. So,
and that's ticket prices have went up a ton since then.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's insane. So it's
economy is in the US and Canada.
I don't blame fans for not going because it costs you an arm and a leg. And that's on the NHL and the NHL teams for not being creative with their marketing and their sales.
And I tell you what, they keep talking about this cap going up and up and up. The NBA is having a real struggle right now on their next television deal. They're not getting what they expected.
Yeah.
And I don't think the NHL is going to get what they expect on their next television deal. And this cap is not going to go up as quick and as much as they think it is when you're charging $800, $900 for a family of four to go to a hockey game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. With the way the economy is in Canada and in the U.S. right now, it's going to be a struggle, and I know they have high hopes, but I think they better start preparing for some tough times. And you're right, get creative on how you're going to get families.
I'm not saying like do two for one tickets, but maybe like buy three tickets, you get like 50% off the fourth, or you get 25% off the fourth. Like just ways like that to get creative and like. Or like buy one, get one half off, like just little shit like that. Like, I don't know how to, I'm just kind of throwing ideas at the wall here, but you know,
maybe not pay the players so much.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a gate driven league. And if the gates aren't clicking, that means the salary should be going down, but I don't think we'll see that anytime soon. Or if we do, it'll be hell to pay. But I'm really shocked this year that all of a sudden Winnipeg goes up as the
and now we're doing a sit down with the chair and what's the talk about an expand or a relocation? It's like, what?
I'm very puzzled.
We're gonna move Winnipeg, Atlanta.
Oh, Winnipeg's like, not going anywhere.
Come on, man.
Winnipeg's not going anywhere.
Not a chance, man. I feel like that was just clickbait. That's all it was, to be honest.
I know, that's what I thought at first too, but I saw it on multiple sites and I'm like, what am I not seeing here? What am I not getting here? They're 4,000 short one night. Like,
yeah,
I know it's a slightly concerning.
And wasn't it like a Tuesday night?
It was the LA game. I believe it was a Tuesday night, but still, I mean, it is a little concerning when your second game of the year, you're not.
Yeah, sure. But a Tuesday night, man, at 7 o'clock, like people are working and people are like, come on, man. It's not like if it was a Saturday night, I'd be like, okay, like what's going on a little bit, but like school night, man, like what is going on here?
I think it boils down to though, we got to get to the root of the problem and it is overpriced.
It's the cost of tickets, man. That's the biggest issue, man. It's too much for families and single people to go.
Lots to talk about. Let's go around the league. All right, let's talk Edmonton Oilers. There are a lot of news in Edmonton this week. And, not good news either, as Connor McDavid goes down with an injury. It looks like 1 to 2 weeks. I got to get your take on this first. It says 1 to 2 weeks. And I heard rumbles today on Edmonton radio that, well, they're hoping to have him back by the Heritage on Sunday. And I'm thinking, why in God's green earth?
There is no chance. Rushing McDavid back
to play against the Calgary Flames
in an outdoor game.
Why on God's green earth would you rush him back and jeopardize him? Because I'm sorry, Edmonton, I'm not so sure where you're going with him. Without him, I know where you're going, and
they're going absolutely nowhere without him. They got a little dose of life without McDavid last night, and that was an embarrassing effort.
This team,
dude, have you seen their stats in the third period?
Yes,
they've gotten outscored 10-1,
and I believe you projected them to win the Stanley Cup. I had them losing in the Stanley Cup.
So you're no much better, but like,
no, I'm not. That's my problem,
dude. I told you last week I might be out on this team. This team is they are soft. They quit. They don't hustle. They don't play defense. They don't get saves. If 97 and 29 don't score, nobody scores. And it's a disaster right now.
They are 1-4-1. They have a minus 10 in goal differential. I know it's early, and I know this team has the talent to recover. I agree with that. But the defensive breakdowns and the goaltending makes me shake my head. And then I heard this. Did you hear on Saturday night, Evander Kane not doing well at all this year, playing horrible, minus player. And he goes on, and with Scott Oaks that didn't play much in the first period, so I thought I might as well get out there and fight and take 7 or 8 minutes in the box. And he basically calls out Woodcroft for not playing him. Well, the dude's minus 6 on the season.
That's just not the right time and place to say that. You cause a distraction within your team because you just call out your coach on live television, and B, your team has lost 5 of 6.
I'm sorry, Evander Kane. If you worked hard every game, you'd be one of the best players.
Some people are saying the Canucks broke the Oilers. Is that true? They broke them. Two beatings at the start of the year, and they've never recovered. What happened?
I don't know. But when you get, you know, you need Evander Kane rolling for you. He's a key cog in this team. And when he's calling out the coach, and I don't know. I heard it on a couple other podcasts this week that they think that Woodcroft is on the chopping block. And
well, I mean, if they start like 1-10, yeah, like he for sure.
But I'm watching this game and I don't know that he's the problem. I mean, Woodcroft can't make those guys work hard, can he?
Like it's like it's almost like they try in spurts and then they just like they don't try, they don't back check, they give up on plays so easy.
They try hard. There's
so much second opportunities in front of Campbell and Skinner, and it's like you got Nurse out there just leaving his guy wide open back door. It's like, I don't know, man.
It's like they try hard, you know, but if it doesn't go their way right away,
they quit. They just fold like a tent. Oh, pack it up. We're done. Yep. Like what I've noticed about the Oilers, and I noticed this in the second game against Vancouver when they came out flying and they scored and Vancouver weathered the storm. When that shit got hard for them, they quit. They stopped battling for pucks in the corners, and they, it's just like, really? That's your identity right now? And I've noticed that every game I've watched, they just pack her up.
They had a
4-3 lead against Minnesota in the third period, and they ended up losing 7-4. How?
Did you see some of those plays too?
Did you see Zuccarello kick that to Hartman? That was a sick play. That's why they play the sewer and before the game. Kicking that, you gotta practice your hand eye.
Sure, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, it's not good.
It is not good at all. Speaking of other things not good, Rasmus Anderson hits Patrick Laine at the buzzer of the Calgary Columbus game the other night. Just a stupid hit. I don't even know how else to describe it. I mean, gets four game suspension.
He tried to appeal it so he can play in the outdoor game.
Well, that never happened. That's like if my daughter asked my wife if she can go to the mall
and then comes back and asks you,
say yes. Like, yeah, I think that's gonna happen.
But I'm a huge fan of Rasmus Anderson, and
oh my.
I don't think he's a dirty player. I just think he got caught up in the moment, saw Laine with his head down. It was dirty. There's no ways to justify it. It was at the end of the game, they're down 4-1, leaves his feet, elbow right to the head. There's a lot of shit I didn't like about it. A lot of shit. And it being at the end of the game just makes it even worse. Because why do you even need to hit a guy like that?
I thought it was uncharacteristic. And I thought I thought it would be two games based off other plays I've seen in the league in the last 3 years.
I told you, I texted you right after that. I say he's getting 5. And I was close. And he got 4.
But you know what?
When you didn't reply to me, I was like, I wonder what this fucker's going to say in the podcast. Is this guy going to justify and say this wasn't dirty? Because you didn't reply to me. I'm like,
No, I don't bait into your stupid stuff.
Well, but I'm just saying.
But I don't think it's 5. Because you got to base it off of other things that have happened, right?
Yeah.
No, just hear me out here. Am I upset with 4? No, I think it's justified. I do. But that being said, if you really truly base this off of his history and other hits and what they've gotten in suspensions, it should have been 2 games.
Yeah, no, that's a fair argument, but maybe this is the NHL finally setting a standard. Maybe that's the hope and goal that said any hit like this, it's 4 games. And if it is like that, good on the NHL, because we've been begging and begging and begging the player's safety to set a standard and set boundaries and be more consistent. And if this sets the precedent that it's going to be 4 games, then I'm fine with it.
Let me ask you this question, and I want an honest answer.
I always give you honest answers.
Connor McDavid hits Laine in the exact same method. How many?
I think he gets 4 games. It's dirty.
Okay, but how come it never works that way? Because
Connor McDavid got suspended 2 games for one time. And we thought it was maybe fine, two or three.
And he got fined $5,000 for
no, he got suspended. He got suspended.
There's been multiple occasions.
Yeah.
And then you also got to look at this too.
The one are you talking about the one where he ran behind the guy in LA?
I don't remember the details on it. I remember us talking about it. How about, okay, so let me ask you this. And this is not trying to justify the Anderson hit at all. Like I just said, I don't disagree with four games. Should it have been two based off previous ones? Yes. But Adam Ruziska gets run from behind last night. There's not even a 2-minute penalty on it. And he's out now.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the difference? I know it's not at the buzzer at the end of the game.
Well, that plays a factor. It's because it's in the head.
So it's okay to run a guy from behind into the boards where people break their necks.
Yeah, no, I'm not. There's no justifying it, dude. There's no. You're not going to get an answer out of me from that. Because I think they're both suspendable hits.
I don't understand why. Why are hits into the boards where we've seen more spinal injuries than hits at center ice? Why are the hits at center ice to the head being suspended, but the hits from behind into the boards are barely a 2-minute call most nights?
Yeah. No, I got
it. It's a little ass backwards in the fact that we've got more spinal injuries into the boards. Boy, that seems to me like that would be a spot to keep.
But also, you got to remember, they were just in a lengthy, lengthy lawsuit with concussions. So anything to the head, anything to the head is going to be suspendable now.
Sure. So we have to wait for a spinal injury.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know. I'm just saying, though, too.
But you get where I'm coming from?
No, I think that's a bullshit excuse.
Anything to the head is you're even seeing it in minor hockey. They're going to the extent where you're getting a two minute and a 10 minute misconduct. You hit somebody in the head, you're gone for 12 minutes. So they're just trying to get rid of it like that.
Let me ask you this question. Would you rather get hit in the head and have a concussion
or be paralyzed?
I'm just saying.
No, of course. Yes, dude. I'd rather have a concussion, but shit happens. It's a fast sport and fucking shit happens. You know what I mean? Like, hockey's a physical, fast sport. You got to make decisions on a blink of an eye.
I know.
You know what I mean?
So you have to make a decision to hit somebody in the head, or you have to make a decision to hit somebody from behind?
I get it, but I see both sides for sure.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why one's being prioritized over the other. Alexander Ovechkin, 5 games, 1 goal. And that goal came last night. But one of the things that caught my eye is in the 4 games before last night, he had 14 shots.
Yeah,
he had 14 last night.
Yeah.
But okay. But
first two games, he had 0, which is
weird. He had 4 in Pittsburgh. Then he had 0 against Calgary, 0 against Ottawa. And then 5 against Montreal. That's very odd for him. And I watched him in the Calgary game, and he looked marginally slower than I've noticed him ever before.
Yeah. Well, he's still gonna run into his streaks. Like he's a streaky scorer. He's a streaky scorer. When he gets going, he scores goals in bunches, and he's done that his whole career. And he's going to get his goals in the power play by just blowing pucks past goaltenders. That's what he does. So it's nice to see him shooting the puck more. I wouldn't worry too much about him. He's still going to break Gretzky's record. I don't think that's a big deal.
I don't know.
How old is he? 37?
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be fine. He'll break it in 3 years.
We'll see about that.
Hey, just remember, I called this like 4 years ago. They didn't break the record.
It was the same year you called that the Devils were going to win the Stanley Cup.
I picked them to make the playoffs. I was 3 years off. That happens.
I don't know. I think Alexander Ovechkin is a great hockey player, but he's on a Washington Capitals team now that they basically band-aided together. And so I made a bunch of horrendous signings. Yeah. And this team can't score. Team can't score. It's going to make it a little bit harder.
Well, for them. I mean, like you're paying TJ Oshie $6.5 million. He's got 0 points in the season.
Zero. How about Tom Wilson? They gave him a 7-year deal this late in his career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Starting goalies. I saw a real cool fact. And it said since 2020, which is just what, three seasons ago, the amount of starting goalies per team. What team do you think has went through the most starting goalies?
This year?
No, since, are you listening to me?
Sorry.
Since 2020.
2020. The most starting goalies?
Yeah.
Or the most goalies just total.
Most goalies to start a game, Blake. How much more clear do I need to make this question?
Vancouver will be up there.
No, Vancouver's not even halfway there.
Really?
Vancouver's had 7 starting goalies.
Detroit?
No. Detroit has had 9.
New Jersey?
New Jersey's had the second most, 13.
Okay. San Jose?
No, Ottawa had the most with 14.
14?
Yeah. The fewest is
Tampa Bay.
No. No. There's 3 of them tied and 1 of them's kind of cheated, but we'll give it to them.
Vegas.
The New York Islanders. Will you just let me finish my sentence?
Okay, sorry.
New York Islanders, the Winnipeg Jets, and the Seattle Kraken all have had 4. Oh, and the Edmonton Oilers. That's scary.
Yeah, that's how many is it Vancouver had? You said they had 9?
Vancouver said 7.
7.
I thought that was an interesting.
I got interesting. 1. At least I got 1 guess, right? There you go.
All righty, time for 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
It was my turn last week. This week it is Blake's turn to fire 3 questions at me. Question number 1.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on this new draft? Like I kind of read into it a little bit, but I'm kind of not understanding like what the deal is here. So basically they want to go to an NFL style draft where everything's remote.
It is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. They want to have it like where the teams don't travel there. They have a ballroom where some of the players, the first round picks, gather. And after that, nobody else is there.
So you're going to take a kid's dream from walking on the stage and shaking the commissioner's hand and getting his picture taken up with it. That's dumb.
Well, 30 of the 32 teams voted to decentralize it today. And I think it is one of the worst mistakes this league has ever made.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
And you know what? They say that the biggest...
It takes away the fun because like draft day trades on the floor and stuff like that. Like,
doesn't happen anymore.
Like, I don't know, man. This doesn't make sense to me.
Their complaint was that there's not enough time between the draft and free agency. So I have a solution to that. Start the season 1 week earlier, get the season over 1 week earlier.
Yeah, you said that last year.
So
my dad texted me today. He goes, hey, when's the last Canucks game of the year? Because we're planning on going on a trip. I said...
12th or something.
I said, I don't know, like April 7th. I looked, their last game is April 18th.
Yeah.
Why are we playing till April 18th? Why is the regular season till April 18th? That's almost the third week of April.
Because we got to take 2 weeks off now for these players, and we got to do all this and that. And it's crazy. And I had an idea, and I was listening to 32 Thoughts the other day, and they were talking about this, and it's either that or the Merrick Show. I can't remember which one. But they were talking about, why can't you make this even a bigger event? Have the award show, have the draft all at one location, and then have an NHL fan fest where players...
Did they not just do that?
No.
Are you sure they didn't have them both in Vegas?
They did just have them in Nashville, the draft and the awards, they did.
Oh, right.
Fan fest and everything like that. Well, they used to have... It was stupid. They used to have the awards in Vegas, and then they'd have the draft in Montreal, and everybody'd have to get up the next day and fly up. It was stupid. You have them in the same place.
Yeah.
And then you have a fan fest, and you make an event out of it where fans could come and players could come, and it's the final thing for the league. And then if you want to really make it good, schedule free agency the next day and have them all together right there and make it a made-for-TV event.
Yeah, you're a traditionalist, though, so I don't know if you would like going away from July 1st.
Well, so make the award show on the 29th and the draft on the 30th and the free agency on the 1st. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah.
Take this away from the kids is
ludicrous. That's the biggest thing for me.
And the fans. Yeah. And the fans. I watched the draft. I like the draft.
I watched the first round. That's it.
I watched all of it. And it's fun. And now they're going to wreck that. And it's terrible for these kids. It's a horrible, selfish decision by the National Hockey League. And it's going to bite them in the ass.
Is there anything you would do with the Oilers right now? Like, do you think they need like a firing or a trade or like somebody gets put on waivers for like a wake up call or something?
No, you can't. You just got to calm the ship.
How do you do that though?
Win.
Fuck. Nothing's going right now, dude. It's tough.
Yeah. But making knee jerk reactions to a team.
Yeah, but sometimes that sparks the team.
How about an injury to Connor McDavid? Is that not a spark?
That didn't look like a spark against Minnesota. You would have thought that would be a spark. You would have thought that, but hey, fuck, the best player in the world's out. I got to pick my game up.
Sports scored 4 goals, should win, right?
Honestly, you should win with 4.
Yeah.
What goalie tandem, in your opinion, is the best in the league right now? This one's easy for me.
I suppose you're going to say Vancouver.
No, Islanders, Varlamov and Sorokin. For me, that's probably the best for me.
Who's the backup to Shesterkin now? I don't know right now.
Let me look. I believe shit. I was just looking at this. It is Jonathan Quick.
It's not a bad, pick.
It's not. So I looked up the top 5. They have Varlamov and Sorokin at 1. They have Hellebuck and Brassois at 2. Allmark and Swayman at 3. Juuse Saros and Kevin Lankinen at 4, which is insane. Vasilevskiy and Johansson at 5. Crazy. Jake Odger, Scott Wedgwood, that's not a bad one. Gustafson and Fleury, that's not a bad one.
I don't mind that one at all.
Ranta and Anderson at 9, and the top 10 is Hill and Logan Thompson.
The jury is still out there, but so far so good. I guess they're proving everybody wrong, right?
I would take Demko and Smith over 3 of those tandems.
Well, I know obviously you would.
But that's not even being biased. That's just the facts.
Nah, well, that's 6 games in, so we'll see what it is. It's 66 games.
Yeah, that was my 3 questions. You got a listener question?
Listener question, Addison Marquardt, Denver, Colorado. What NHL team should be the most concerned with their slow start?
Okay, we're not going to pick on the Oilers again. But that's an easy answer right now.
It is, but I don't think it's the right answer. I know my right answer.
I would go with... I'm just looking at the records here. Pittsburgh at 2-4. Buffalo at 3-4, maybe.
Buffalo would be a concern.
Washington.
I didn't expect Washington to be good, though. That's the thing. When you didn't think they were going to be good.
Yeah, it's either for me, it's Edmonton, Buffalo, or Pittsburgh.
To me, it's Buffalo or Calgary.
Calgary? What's their record?
2-4?
2-4-1. Yeah.
They're awful. Yeah. They went on a road trip and lost. I won one game and lost all of the other ones. Not one of the teams they played was in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, that's concerning for sure.
Ugly road trip. Ugly road trip.
Yeah.
We are back next Monday night from.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm concerned about Calgary, and I'd be concerned if I was a Buffalo fan too. Because Levi, I don't know, he's not the answer there, and
he's hurt right now.
They just don't look in sync at all, and
Tage Thompson has 1 goal. Well, he scored last night, so he's got 2. But yeah, he's had a little bit of a slow start too.
I don't know. This team can't afford to get off to a slow start. You can't afford it.
Well, not in that division. Definitely not in that division. No, it's the best division in the league.
Yeah, we're back next Monday night, more NHL hockey talk. Will Edmonton get on track? Which team will be worse than the Heritage Classic? There's two bad hockey teams. We're off in the Battle of Alberta outside next Sunday night. This will be a jam-packed week of hockey. Lots of good games to watch. Next week, we are going to talk about surprise teams and surprise players so far this season, the good and the bad surprises. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next Monday night. Same time, great hockey talk. Hockey talk every week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.